This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We have all kinds of stuff this hour, from Jasmine Crockett's run to what's going on in Venezuela to the post-World War II decolonization of the world. Before I get to any of that, I'm gonna talk about a story just for a couple minutes, one that probably passed you by because it's not big. It's not big. But the headline is this: grieving Colorado uncle body slams the lawyer of nephew's suspected killer outside the courtroom, fracturing his spine. Now, the details of this story don't matter. That doesn't matter. But what does matter is this, and it's been on my mind for a long time, and I just kind of vent it out for you here. Every time we talk about some horrible, heartbreaking story where some multi-time felon butchers some innocent person, women, children, and some filthy communist judge and DA let the killer out, let him off scot-free. Every single time I see one of these stories, I have feelings that well up inside of me. And I'm just gonna lay this out for you here, just being honest with you. I have thought multiple times, if that was my son, I'd kill that judge. I've thought about it multiple times. In fact, every time I see one of these stories, if that was my wife who got butchered on a train by some animal, I don't even know if I'd kill the animal. I'd kill the judge. Now, I'm not going to do that. And I'm not encouraging you to do that. I'm telling you about a feeling that wells up inside of me every time I see one of these stories. And then, of course, I talk myself out of it. That's against the law. Then you go to prison. Then I talk myself out of it, right? But that is my first reaction as a man every time I see one of these stories. Kill the criminal, kill the judge. I think about it every single time. Now, that's me. Have you ever had these thoughts? Have you ever had these feelings? Of course you have. Chris is nodding. Of course I think these are normal feelings that people have. Now, let me ask you something. Why do human beings, when they create a society, why do they create a justice system? Every society has one of some kind. You know, there's always generally something you would recognize as a cop, some sort of a trial system you would recognize, something, some sort of a prison system you would recognize. Why do people do that? Human beings demand justice. They demand it. And that demand for justice, it must be satisfied. It cannot be denied without end. If it is denied for too long, then human beings will take matters into their own hands. And so, because that feeling must be satisfied, human beings, when they create societies, create justice systems for those societies so people have some semblance of justice. Somebody did this bad, now our justice system will do something to him because he did something bad. And it's always imperfect and it's always ugly, and I get that, but that's why human beings create justice systems in their societies. Which brings us to where we are now in our country, and you're well aware of all the reasons why. I want to get back to the questions so we don't have to go in depth, But you know that communists want violent criminals raping and murdering people. We've talked about it without end. That's why they opened the prisons in the Soviet Union. But violent crime destabilizes society, creates angst in a society, which helps the communist in his revolution. That's why the communist judge in your area let that violent criminal out for the 25th time, and then he butchered your grandmother with a hunting knife. That's why the judge wanted him to murder somebody, wanted him to rape somebody. They're not soft on crime. They're not naive. They want these things to happen. And that's why they are so common now across the country, where this career criminal gets out and hurts someone and this career criminal gets out. It's not an accident. It's not a whoopsie. It's not an unfortunate byproduct of restorative justice. It is the communists' intention to put more rapists, thieves, and murderers into your society. Now, I shouldn't say great thing, but I guess in the end it is a great thing. The great thing about the war against communism is eventually, oftentimes very late, too late, but eventually the people will tire of it and they will take measures to eliminate the problem. I'm telling you right now, I've been feeling it for a while. There's going to be a day when a criminal gets murdered by a victim's family. There is going to be a day in this country where a prosecutor gets murdered by a victim's family. And there is going to be a day in this country where a judge gets murdered by a victim's family. And you ask how far away that day is? Well, let's talk about me again. I told you the feelings I have. What stops me? How do I talk myself out of it when I'm going through that mental exercise and I say, if that was Ob dead, I'd kill him. If that was James dead, I'd kill him. If that was Luke dead, I'd kill him. You know what really gets me out of it? I think to myself, well, if I did that, then I'd go to prison and then the boys would be left behind and I'd be gone. Or then I'd go to prison and Ob would be left behind and I'd be gone. What talks me out of it? Something to lose. How many men out there have some sort of military law enforcement training of some kind? Men who can kill, maybe have killed, are willing to kill at some point in time in their lives. How many of them are almost out of things to lose? What's going to happen is there's going to be a story, and some innocent person is going to have been butchered by an animal the communists turned loose. And there's going to be a member of that family who's going to be a guy willing to kill, knows how to kill, and he's a guy who ain't stressed about going to prison. And it's going to be a national story. And what's worse is it's not going to be a one-off. It will probably spark a movement. I will venture to guess if the communist judges cannot control themselves, and they cannot control themselves, they will not. It's not humanly possible for them. If the communist judges in this country who turn murderers and rapists loose, if they do not change their ways, there will probably not be enough private security for them to save them when the reckoning comes. This is ugly, by the way, and I don't celebrate this. It's a terrible place for society to go to. You want a justice system that is, pardon the pun, just. You have to have a justice system that is just. Otherwise, society descends into mob violence and vigilante justice and all these other things. And they sound great. And look, I'm a dude. We all love these movies, right? Everybody loves Man on Fire. Everyone loves the dude who's got nothing to lose. And now he's going to just go kill every bad guy. I love him too. I'm a dude. I love him too. Just like you do. It's a terrible place for society to be. And we're heading there. This is one little story out of Colorado. The uncle probably just he was completely in the wrong. I'm not defending him or anything. I'm not saying that at all. It's just a story out of Colorado. And I don't want you to ever do anything illegal or anything violent. Remember, keep yourself out of prison. But it's coming, man. How many more Irina Zarutskas do we have to see before someone snapped? What if I'm talking about that little blonde girl who got butchered by that savage on the train and we all watched the video of it? What if that young lady had a father? Divorced, wife's out of the picture, no other siblings. What if that father was 50 years old? Maybe even lost his job. Not that into his job. He's angry, drinks a bit, and he logs onto the internet and watches that animal kill his daughter. How hard do you have to push that man before he does something? Those days are coming in this country, I'm telling you they are. The communists in the sitting in judges' robes maybe think they're going to be okay in those days. They will not. They'll be the first ones on the menu. It's coming. It's ugly and horrible, but it's coming. Better get your chalk and get ready for those days. Better get your T levels up. Naturally. Don't jam needles into your arm. There's a new low T clinic on every street corner now because men are drinking estrogen in the water. Their T levels are dropping. They're effeminate. They're weak. They're depressed all the time. And they're looking for a solution, which is totally understandable. But the solution is not found in a syringe. It's found with natural herbal supplements from Chalk. A male vitality stack will change your entire life. There are female vitality stacks for the ladies, but these are natural herbal supplements. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days without a needle in your arm. Go to chok.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and Jewish producer Chris brought up during the break, we actually touched on it once before on the show, a wonderful story out of Montana in the 1860s. Corrupt law enforcement, justice wasn't done. Soon people are swinging from trees. There's a story out of, I believe it was Athens, Tennessee, post-World War II. Corrupt local law enforcement, criminality. Guess what? Men started taking matters into their own hands, weapons, things like that. I know the communist savages listening to the sound of my voice right now believe they'll be able to open up the jails and let violent criminals run free forever, and there will never be consequences for it. But I have terrible news for you demons. There will be. There will be. People will take a bit for a while. An indeterminate amount of time, I should say. And then when that time limit is up, you are in trouble. Jesse, you mentioned in the Rhodesia history segment, by the way, pause, that starts again on Monday. If you missed the previous three parts, get caught up on the weekend. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, you can download the podcast. Hour two of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday show, Rhodesia History. We're picking up again on Monday. If you're not caught up, too bad, so sad. I can't recap it all. It's been a long one, all right? iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Jesse, you mentioned in the Rhodesia History segment that the global powers post-World War II collectively began decolonizing. What caused this shift? Was it in response to the aggressive actions of Germany or Japan or something else? Okay, so there's a bit to this, but one of the things that doesn't get talked about, because it did happen post-World War II in years and years and years. It wasn't like immediately after World War II, but post-World War II, these empires, certainly European empires, but honestly, even American and whatnot, started to give up or frankly lose their territories they held in far-off lands. And part of the, there are a couple of different reasons we can discuss. It can get deeper, but we'll discuss two different things. First, remember this about colonization. And your dork history teacher probably never taught you this because they were only ever taught that America is evil and white men are bad. So let's discuss what colonization is in so many places. It's an agreement, right? We'll make it about what the Europeans were doing in Rhodesia with the African tribes. It was an agreement. The agreement was, we are going to bring civilization here. No more dying at 35 from dysentery. No more relying on one cow to feed your entire family. We are going to bring the ability to read, write, modern roads, running water, health care. We're going to bring air conditioning. We are going to bring civilization to your society, right? But there's an agreement, and the agreement is we will also in some way look out for you as we colonize you. Remember, yes, we are conquering. That's what colonization is. We are conquering, but we are also going to protect you. We're going to look out for you. Yes, it may be Rhodesia now. We may have taken your tribal lands, but guess what? Zambia doesn't get to form an army and come in here and start attacking you because we'll go up there and beat the living crap out of them. That's part of the deal with colonization. There is a certain layer of protection. Now, if you go to, well, we'll make it about Britain. If you look at countries like Britain, they lost India almost immediately afterwards. Why? Where were you when the Japanese were rampaging through this freaking place? Where were you when they were raping all the women and butchering everybody? Where were you? Same thing, the French in Vietnam. Hey, France, you moved in here and you colonized. And yeah, thanks for the paved roads. But when my daughter got sold off into sex slavery in the Japanese Empire, where were you? And if you, the empire that did the conquering, did the colonizing, if you were not strong enough to then protect what you colonized, you are inevitably going to be cast off. You are going to be cast off. There is a protection agreement there. And there's another aspect to it, which we don't have to get deep into. Simple finances. Because money, national debt, things like that, the numbers are always so big, they're beyond our comprehension. I don't understand what $37 trillion is. Neither do you. Nobody does. The numbers are so big, they're beyond our comprehension. We don't really take in what the financial impact of World War II was for the entire planet, certainly the established powers on the planet. I want you to think about this. New York City. Think about New York City. I know you can at least picture it in your head. Maybe you're sitting there right now watching or listening in New York City. Think about all those buildings, all those bridges, all that stuff. How much money do you think is all that worth? The buildings, the bridges, everything. Well, I know you don't know, neither do I, but it's a lot, right? Now, I just bombed it to rubble. There aren't two bricks still stacked on top of each other. I have to rebuild it. What does that cost? That's one city. Now think about all the destruction from Russia throughout Europe, Asia, Africa. Think about Japan. Think about all the cities. Rubble. The financial cost was so great for the established powers of the world. They didn't have the money to worry about colonies anymore. And they were done with it. And there's one more aspect to it we can touch on. I don't want to give the game away too much, but one more aspect we'll touch on in a moment. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So as far as the world's decolonization goes, one final point on this. After World War II, when the established powers decided they were going to hand their lands back to the natives, as I mentioned already during our history segment of the Rhodesian Bush War, and I've mentioned it on a million different history segments. Communists find the cracks that form in every single society, and they worm their way into those cracks and use the crack to break the society apart. They are masterful at this. Masterful at this. After World War II, when the world was trying to pull itself back together, remember the communists were on the move. They weren't sitting around heartbroken about World War II and loss of life. They're communists. They don't care about dead people. And they recognized that exploiting the white guilt of the West would be an incredible way to take over all kinds of places they wanted to take over, just like they were doing in Rhodesia. Just, hey, it's white versus black. The blacks are oppressed. We need to get in there. Aren't you oppressed? You're oppressed. Race communism is such an easy sell. And Western civilization by this point, and I don't know, we could do a whole deep dive on this, was too weak to stand up for it, to stand up to it. Just simply too weak. Didn't understand what was happening. Didn't stand up to it. Hey, Jesse, I just saw the footage of Venezuelan thug Maduro dancing, wearing some dopey hat, threatening to smash the teeth of North America. Wouldn't it be nice to see a footage of a drone whiz by that commie? Don't take him out. Just some chin music, as they say in baseball. I don't know how he's still alive at this point in time. Yeah, it really is a miracle that he's still alive, because we have a $50 million bounty on his head. And Donald Trump has all but said to the camera, yeah, I want someone to kill him and I'll pay you $50 million. I want someone to kill him. I think the Trump administration, if I had to guess, and that's all we can do is guess because they have to keep these things kind of close to the vest, I think it's pretty obvious that's what he's going for. He doesn't want to actually drop bombs on Venezuela, certainly doesn't want to invade Venezuela. He's aware the American people are not going to have any appetite for that at all. So you just drop a $50 million bounty up there and you say, man, it'd be a shame if something happened to him. And now you get to the place where loyalty can be hard to come by. You have friends? You have family? You probably have one of the two. Lord willing, you have both, but you never know. You have any friends? You have any family? Good, good, good. Let me ask you. How many people in your life are you 100% positive would not sell you out for $50 million? Remember what $50 million means. That's not just, you know, flying first class now and then. You probably have a couple mansions for that kind of money. Probably a couple times a year at least. You fly on private jets. You have a maid, maybe two or three. You live like a king for the rest of your life with $50 million tax-free dollars. If you're Maduro, you know he's asking himself this exact question every single night. Now, that's you. You're a normal, peaceful person. I got to be honest. I got a few friends. Got some family members. How many am I sure wouldn't do me in for $50 million? Count that number on one hand. Chris? Chris probably has even less. Think about that. $50 million is a lot of money. I think they want someone to take the guy out. We already sent our military in case you don't know. And we grabbed this woman who Trump wants to be the new leader of Venezuela. And we sent her to, I think it's Norway or something like that. I'm sure she has a security detail that rivals Donald Trump's at this point. Because if Maduro has half a brain, he understands that taking that woman out would benefit him. We'll see where it goes. Don't convince yourself, by the way, that everything's a walk in the park. And also, don't convince yourself that regime change solves problems all the time. The history has shown you can kill a bad guy. It's easy to kill. You know that? Easy to kill a bad guy. It's not hard. Especially today, with the technology we have, we can fire missiles from 200 miles away and drop them in a coffee can today. It's not hard to kill somebody with the rifles we have now. It's not hard to kill somebody. You can kill somebody easily. Replacing them with somebody who will stabilize things and do the things you want becomes a much, much, much more difficult affair. Jesse, If you're using a Senate race to build your brand, always talking about Jasmine Crockett, you're aiming higher than the Senate. Jasmine Crockett might already be running for president and will be in the primary if she keeps it up. Nobody else is popular right now. Well, I'll tell you something. You want to hear something? Do you know who the number one fundraiser in Congress is? Number one. More than Mike Johnson, more than, you know who number one is? AOC. Part of the reason we are in such a dangerous place as a country is these insane communists that we kind of, I don't want to say we dismissed them, but when they were the squad, when it was just four or five young women, I don't know that we took them as seriously as we should have. I don't think we understand the amount of money that is behind communism now. They have moved off of the street corner, and there are now billionaires who will write huge checks to committed communists now. It's a really scary place to be as a society, but that's where we are. Look, we're all thinking Gavin Newsom is going to be the Democrat nominee. You understand how premature that is? It's still the year 2025. That primary isn't until the year 2028. That is 3 centuries. That's not 3 years. That's 3 centuries in politics. It's going to be a wild world out there. It's going to be a very, very wild world. And when I stop being afraid of it and start thinking about it, honestly, I'm fascinated by it. I'm kind of excited to live through the whole thing. I think it's going to be quite a ride. Hey, Jesse, isn't BlackRock and Larry Fink affecting private home ownership negatively by buying up single-family homes? Yes, they are. Driving up the cost of housing and limiting availability for the average American? My son, who is 26 and more informed than many his age, did love Trump, but is disillusioned as he says Trump is letting his billionaire buddies benefit from his policies, but not your average Joe. Well, the reality of that we can discuss, but image in politics is everything, remember. People who are informed like you, you know the reality of things, but most people are not informed. Most people know 5-second video clips they got on Twitter. They know headlines they see briefly and then move on. Most people are not super informed. And yes, right now I would argue Trump has an image problem that he has overcome in the past. And he has to overcome it now before the midterms. And that image is, hey, you ran as the McDonald's guy. A lot of billionaires are getting pardons. Where's my stuff? He's aware of it, all right? He's aware of it. He's got, 10 months to undisillusion? I'm sure that's not a word. To undisillusion people like your son? He's got to figure it out. All right. Let's talk about some other things. Before we do that, let me talk to you about gold. I already said the debt crisis is it's inevitable. The devaluation of your money is inevitable. There's nothing that can stop it. I can't stop it. You can't stop it. All we can do is prepare. Gold Co. is how we prepare. A-plus rated from the Better Business Bureau. They still have free 2025 gold and silver kits. Gold just hit yet another record. Gold keeps hitting records because the currency keeps going down. Don't wait until it's completely unobtainable. Call 855-817-GOLD to learn more or go to jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Friday. You can still email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, the national average gas price is $2.95. California's $4.47. Their tax is 70.92 cents per gallon. California gas without taxes is $3.76. Oklahoma's $1.99, so on and so forth. Why is there nearly a $2 per gallon difference? Love the show. Feel free to use my name. Okay, so I'm not going to break down all the fees that go into things like California, but remember, there are things things you'd probably call hidden fees, hidden costs to life that make life so much more expensive. For example, I'm just going to use this as an example. This is not accurate. It's just an example. All right. So California gas. By the way, I just drove by a gas station last night. It's $2.19 a gallon here. Where are they? $2.19. If you're in California right now, don't drive your car off a bridge. I'm sorry. We pay half of what you pay. Why? If it's more than just taxes, why? Well, remember how many layers there are, how many different working parts there are to every single part of an economy. It's what we actually talked about a lot during COVID, that we have a $20 trillion economy. You have any idea how complicated that is? How many different parts and shapes? It's unbelievably complicated. And the different parts have to work with each other. Anyway, so let's make it about gas. What do I have to do? I have to pull oil. This is a very overly simplified explanation, but I have to pull oil out of the ground. Well, let's say I'm in the ocean, because California has that. I have to pull oil out of that. I then have to transport that unrefined oil to some place that can refine the oil. Once the oil's been refined, then I have to turn it into gas, and then I have to get it to the gas station. And that, you understand, now we're talking about layers. Now there are layers involved. Yes, the price you pay at the pump may just have a 70 cent per gallon tax on it, but that oil platform, any extra fees they have to pay in California that they wouldn't have to pay in, say, Texas? The boat, let's call it a boat. The big boat that's going to go out to that oil platform and grab all that oil. Any extra fees? Any extra licenses, classifications that have to be done to that boat before that boat can actually ship out, bring things back? Pipelines themselves. You know, I told you I worked construction most of my life. That's what my dad did. That's what his dad did. Just a white trash construction family from Ohio. That's what we are. I would work, well, in all over the place. Montana, Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, all over the place. I would work usually in the ditch. We would make, this is when I was young, I was usually one of the lowest laborers on there because I always got the crappy jobs. That's just the way it is. It's the way my dad wanted it. But I would make $12 an hour, $13 an hour. That's when your buddies are working at the fast food place, that's good money, right? Then I remember that it was the first job I did in California. We had to go put in, I believe it was a sewer line in Oxnard, California. It's Southern California, by the way. Oxnard, California. We did a pipeline project out there. And don't quote me on this exactly because I don't remember. It was years ago. But I believe I was making $23, $24 an hour. An hour. Why? Well, California had all these rules that said I had to be paid all this. Well, that pipeline project, I don't remember how much it was. Let's say it was a $5 million pipeline project. Who pays for it? You know the government doesn't have any money, right? If you're sitting in Oxnard, California, and you pay taxes, you paid for it. All those extra requirements. We got to raise the wage here, an extra license there. I've told you this story. We did a project in San Diego area. I think it was La Jolla, if I remember right. But San Diego area, we had to, I think it was $45 an hour. We were digging a line, and we had to have some kind of archaeologist expert type guy there for the entire project, every minute of every day. And his only job was he stood on the side of the ditch and looked down into the ditch all day, every day, in case you came across an old Indian arrowhead or something like that, at which point he would stop the entire project. And by the way, if he did stop the entire project, the state of California or city of San Diego, I don't know who put it on, would then have to compensate us for the fact the project would stop while we dug the arrowhead out of the ground. And who paid for that? The taxpayer. I've told you that inflation's not going to go back to where it was, right? You know that. I've told you about the value of the dollar going down. You know that. And I've told you this too. You better remember it. If you want the most effective way to at least mitigate some of this inflation brutality you're going through, you got to get out of your communist state. You want your dollar to go a lot further? Get out of your communist state. Go look at La Jolla, California, San Diego. Take $200,000. That's about, I would say, average size of a home. Take $200,000 and look at what you can get in San Diego, California. Then come to Texas. Look in Dallas, Houston. I don't care. Rural Texas. Take your $200,000 and see what kind of home you can get. If you are in a blue state, because the communism is so rampant, the taxes, the fees, that it's never ending, your standard of living is shockingly lower than it would be if you lived in a red state without all those taxes, regulations, and fees, and this and that. It's just a fact. Why do you think so many people they'll make a bunch of money in New York City, for instance, build up a good retirement, and then when they retire, boop, right down to Texas? Why? Well, they want to live in a nice big house with a pool. Can't afford that in New York, Texas. Take all that money down here, live like a king. Move if you can. We still have an entire hour. It's going to be a good time. Before we do that, let's do this. Let's talk about memories. Right now, Legacy Box has a special for $9. They will convert your home movie. $9 a tape, whether it's a VHS tape, a film reel. When I say convert it, they will hand digitize it. They're not feeding some crap into some machine that's going to tear your stuff up. This stuff is digitized by hand. Keep that home movie forever. Did you know that today it's more faded than it was yesterday? Heat, humidity, cold. It's just the way it works. These things don't last. Those pictures don't last. 20, 30 years from now, that picture, that Polaroid, it's going to be all white. It's gone. You can't see it anymore. If you digitize it with Legacy Box today, you keep it forever. Your kids get to see it. And their kids after them. There's nothing more precious than memories, man. Memories. To have my dad on my phone means everything to me. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.